I took to the assignment with a fair share of discontent. Okay, discontent is an understatement. I didn't want to do it. Our writing mentor wanted us to walk out to the pond and make note of everything, to try to see things differently, and then write about it. I looked at the mowed path through the Indian grass prairie, and all I could think about were the ticks and mosquitoes. I wondered if there are snakes on Madeline Island, but I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't Google it. I wasn't dressed for a walk like this. Normally, headed out into a prairie or woods, I would wear my high rubber boots with my pants tucked in, making me feel less vulnerable to ticks or snakes. Today, I wore shorts and periwinkle canvas sneakers. He told us to say yes to things this week, I mumbled to myself. Yes, yes, yes. My steps increased in speed to avoid the flying terror. I was failing this writing prompt for certain. I was also failing as an environmentalist. I wasn't seeing anything, let alone seeing things differently. It pisses God off if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. I looked around at the other writing students to hear if they heard what I heard. Everyone was chatting and enjoying themselves. I increased my pace to the pond. Are you really going to piss God off? Alice Walker? Is she quoting the color purple to me? I stopped in my tracks. There at my feet was a petite, multi-bloom purple flower. Beyond this tiny gem were dozens more of these flowers. The color purple. I vaguely remember that the rest of that passage said something about how people don't understand God. We think God just wants us to please God. But in truth, God, the world, is always trying to please us back. Squatting down, I examined the exquisite flower and noted the diversity of purples and whites in a backdrop of green. 2 feet away, I saw another dainty pink daisy-like flower. White flowers, yellow flowers. I walked to the pond and saw a turtle swimming along the surface. I took a deep breath and exhaled. I took out my journal to write. The water was peaceful, and I felt like I could relax. Not in our house. Suddenly, my head was swarmed by a dozen black gnats, drawn as are mosquitoes to the carbon dioxide of my exhale. They also like to feast on our blood. My journal became a flailing fly swatter instead of a focused avenue for self-expression. I was a special delivery from Uber Eats to these flying pests. To be less attractive to them, I would need to literally stop exhaling. I breathed in and held my breath, the wildflowers a blur of pastel as I hurried out of the prairie and back to my insect-free room. I guess God isn't trying to please just the humans. This is Curious Planet, and I am Jacqueline Comito. If you've just discovered the podcast, a warm welcome to you. If you've been along with us since our first season, thank you and welcome back. In his 1986 Nobel acceptance speech, Elie Wiesel said, "If anything can, it is memory that will save humanity." In season 2 of Curious Planet, we are going to explore memory and the role it might play in saving humanity, which means saving the ecological systems on this planet that give us life. I've always been interested in the past as experienced, as opposed to the past as written, but I took the process of remembering for granted. For memories to exist and circulate from person to person across generations, they must be repeated. remembrances can and do change from one telling to the next. As such, they can generate new meanings. Most scholars agree that a difference exists between the past as experienced and the past as learned through written word or reenactments. Where there isn't agreement is how you reconcile memory, the past as experienced, and history, the past as learned. When there are disagreements, whose version gets accepted? Reconciliation often happens in the collective memories of a group. French philosopher and sociologist Maurice Havox was the first to use the term collective memory to describe the social frameworks in which individuals recall and share remembrances of experienced events. Although he acknowledges that individuals, not groups, remember, Havox asserts that memories exist in dialogue with other people. Collective memories are the ways in which groups of people, a family, schoolmates, a community, maintain an existence through time, framing the past with the concerns and needs of the present. When we think of our relationship to the natural world, we can see how collective memories also help us remember our natural past. For instance, I was in a listening session in Des Moines a few years ago when an older man started discussing kayaking on the local river as a boy and how much cleaner the rivers were then. Another woman added her stories of time spent on the river with her grandfather, adding that she won't recreate on them now and certainly wouldn't take her young grandchildren on the river. The younger people asked questions of the older participants as they were getting a glimpse into the natural history of the area that they had never experienced. I asked the group whether we could get to cleaner rivers in Iowa if we could no longer imagine or remember what a clean river was. What happens in 20 years if there's no one left who can remember rivers any different from how they are now? Or what if the decline accelerates and we can only compare the future river to today's distressed river, rather than the clear, welcoming river it was when these older Iowans were children? We remember cleaner rivers with the hope that they will be that way again. There is another keeper of the past outside of humans, the natural world. Trees expand across several generations of humans. I recommend reading The Overstory, a novel that illustrates the difference between human time and tree time. So much of what we know about the world is told through the soil and rocks. The natural world remembers the interconnectedness of all living things. I believe that as humans are drawn to being outside, our bodies remember that our very survival rests on being outside. And as my experience on Madeline Island reminded me, that the survival of gnats counts on us being outside also. What our bodies know, our minds don't always remember. The stories we tell hold our collective memories as humans. The natural world holds our interconnection to all of life going back further than any human's memory. Our collective survival depends on preserving both. I am a terrible environmentalist, as the story that begins this episode demonstrates. I don't really enjoy tent camping or encountering snakes. I won't ever go on a multi-week hike by myself. But I will sit on my back patio and watch the barred owl and bumblebees. I will kayak on a lake. I will hike for hours in a state park. I will spend as much time outside as I can. I will be curious and respectful, and maybe try to ask new questions of humans as we share our collective memories and our written histories, and explore the history that only the Earth can understand.